Hey, do you want to be like me and make podcasts that everyone loves? Yeah, you do. But chances are, you don't want to spend a bunch of money doing it. No worries. A solution exists. Spotify's got a platform that lets you make podcasts super easy, then distribute those podcasts everywhere, and you can even earn money doing it. All in one place for free. It's called Spotify for Podcasters, and here's how it works. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else podcasts are heard. Also, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. I'm speaking from experience when I say that all those additional features like video podcasts, Q&As, polls, those are things you won't find for cheap elsewhere. But with Spotify for Podcasters, it's all totally free, no catch. I highly recommend you give it a try. Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started. Thanks. We love you. Everybody, welcome to Pretty Scary.
Pretty Scary Boo!
That was a really good one. I think the last episode was a little better.
It was a little tighter.
Something to do with
we've got
all
a drunk
of the
mom
alcohol
on our hands. So
yeah.
Mom's having a good time. Look out, everybody! It's 9 o'clock.
We've done a little drinking.
Oh my god, you guys!
What are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about Demon House.
Motherfucking house.
We're going to talk about a bunch of bros descending on a fucking haunted house in Gary, Indiana. Okay, so backstory. Demon House is the first full-fledged documentary produced, directed by, and starring our hero, Zach Bagans.
Bagans.
First point. He is always in a tap-out shirt and looks exactly like every guy I actively avoided growing up in downtown Huntington Beach.
Oh, 100%.
Downtown Huntington Beach, but for everybody paying attention, is exactly like New Jersey. Everything you've ever seen on the Jersey Shore is what happens in Huntington Beach.
A bunch of Guidos that aren't Guidos.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Trashy people. And the thing about him is that there is a level of sincerity with him that
I agree.
It may very well be that everyone around him is playing a giant prank on him, but I feel like you'd be hard-pressed to give me proof that he didn't believe that what he was capturing was real.
Right.
Yeah? Secondly, his intellect, as displayed, is so low that I'm not entirely sure that we were supposed to pronounce his last name as Bagans.
Yeah, he might just be wrong.
He might just be wrong, because the spelling is Bagans.
In the,
I thought it was Baggins.
In the opening,
like Frodo Baggins.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
In the opening moments of this documentary, he talks about how this house could be the next Amityville.
Yeah, he gets stuff.
Like, that's not how you pronounce
nobody
that,
nobody pronounces
sir.
It like that. Do we know where he's from? I've never even bothered to look it up.
But even when he talks about...
He's from this house.
The podcast cool. And how... Or I'm sorry, the documentary and how it was supposed to start. And he's like, this was going to be the next Amityville horror, or however he said it.
Amityville
horror.
Amityville.
And he was like, you know, and I had a crew, and like we were all set to go, but then like I got sick, and other people got sick, and then some people just like had to get fired.
It's a weird documentary.
Fired. The beginning made me laugh. Just his commentary was like, wait, people had to get fired? Wait,
so people who listen to Pretty Scary may have listened to also White Wine True Crime, where we've covered a couple documentaries, and the problem is that the documentaries we've covered on White Wine True Crime have been done by people like Werner Herzog and like established documentarians, right? Zach is, to me, in a constant state of self-development is maybe the best way I could
describe
it.
Yeah, that's kind of a good way to put it.
Because when he arrived on the scene with Ghost Adventures, he just looked like a bro yelling at the wall for a long, long, long time.
I heard you like to hit kids in the head, Ghost.
My favorite.
Why don't you hit me? Pick on someone your own size.
Did they ever fight him?
Meanwhile, the ghost is like, I'm a kid too. That's why I hit a kid. Come on, man.
I know I died in World War I, but I was 19 technically. So I
can you cut me some slack?
I feel like they were a slider in size then. So it probably is like a kid our day.
Definitely. If you ever do a ghost town, the doors are a lot lower.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like he's developed as a person as like his show has gone on and somehow. Not somehow. I understand why his show has done so well because, first of all, there's like viewers like us who are like, this guy's silly. There's an episode of Ghost Adventures called The Red Lion Inn.
Yes.
And it is one of the scariest things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because when I saw Demon House, so my husband, because he loves me, not because he believes in ghosts, which is very interesting that he married me, but he's like, hey, this documentary of Zach Bagans just came out, but before you watch it, check out this one episode because it's getting a lot of traction. So I was like, okay, I put it on, and there's like, he's like managed to buy this thing called a spirit box. Have you watched the episodes with the spirit boxes?
Yeah.
It's like an intercom with, I guess, the dead.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. So he's talking to like dead people, but in this episode, like doors are slamming.
Yeah, the Red Lion Inn's a creepy episode.
And here's the problem. I understand why people don't believe him. I get it. Like, okay, fine. But
well, the argument is always, there's no evidence for it. It's like, man.
Okay, fine. Let's shelve that. However, can you in a million years ever prove to me that the people that Zach Bagans, with an asterisk, ever surrounds himself with are talented actors?
Yeah.
Like, you have to be leaving it all on the court, Glenn Close style, to succeed in the level of terror that he manages to record with the people around him.
Right, right. Yeah, people are genuinely scared.
And in the Red Lion Inn episode, there are doors closing. There are people that are like,
I hate you.
Like,
yeah.
That he's capturing. It's some shit. So it's very rare in this lifetime that somebody who believes in ghosts gets to pursue ghost shit. And it's just really hard for me to believe that Zach Bagans doesn't believe that the stuff that he's capturing is real. It might be that he has the best producers on the planet. Fine.
Right.
But I cannot conceive of a world where he's that talented of an actor.
Yeah, he definitely believes all this. And that's what I like. So I find that part endearing.
That's the groundwork of Demon House.
Demon House. Yeah, it's a house in Gary. It's a haunted house in Gary, Indiana. One of the most interesting parts of this documentary is all the people that get sick and have bad things happen to them after encountering this house. And it reminds me of me and Caitlin talked about this via Messenger. There wasn't enough to do a whole episode about it, but Post Malone, noted white rapper, was recently cursed by an item in Zach Bagans' haunted museum.
Okay,
which you've been to.
I have.
But I kept thinking about, while I was watching this documentary, when you went to the museum and you said in one of the rooms, I think there was like a haunted doll. And you're like,
Peggy.
Oh, we have to say goodbye to Peggy when we leave the room.
You and do.
People laughed at me, but I was like, I know. You have to let the demons know not to follow you. And it's very true by this documentary.
Zach Bagans, who has, on our behalf, investigated the most haunted places in the places that he could have access to.
Right.
Has risen to fame and fortune doing all of this. To the point where he sees several headlines come out of Gary, Indiana about what is deemed by the press as Demon House.
They call it a portal to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Adam, hey, portal to hell, what is your plan?
Me personally?
Yeah. With all the money at your disposal, what's your plan?
I'm going to move somewhere far away from the portal to hell.
Oh, okay. Well, Zach Bagans, again, asterisk, buys this house.
True.
Sight unseen.
Plan
over the phone.
A.
You know how you buy houses over the phone?
You're going to buy this house. Now, I remember years ago when I was working at a hospice foundation where I was raising money for people on hospice, people on Facebook were sending me this article of this, like, portal to hell. And I was like, oh my God. And then I found out that Zach Bagans bought it. And my first thought was, this guy is going to definitely create a documentary about this.
Right.
Also, by the way, side note, I think Tyler Perry has bought the story rights to the store.
Was that
to,
the one
to the family
they were talking about in the movie where they're like, oh, a producer?
No, that producer was, I think, the Conjuring people.
Okay.
But
they alluded
Tyler
this,
Perry definitely at this point has purchased the story.
Nice.
Which actually
Madea goes to the help
to the demon house.
If I remember at the end of this episode, I have something to share with everyone regarding specifically Tyler Perry and that, but it doesn't matter. But the point is, so Zach Bagans, sight unseen, buys this portal to hell.
Right.
And before we get into the cascade of personal disasters that happen for Zach Bagans, he decides to deal with everybody who's lived in the house and all of things that happened to them.
Yes.
He's connected with the original owners, mm-hmm. which Gary Indiana, I don't necessarily think he actually contacted the original owners. So that's my first.
It's not even owners.
It couldn't have been the first owners.
No, because it was a rental house.
I think that's in Zach Bagans' mind what that means.
Yeah.
So before it, because I think there were rental owners.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
The people who lived in it before him is who he contacted.
And before the squatters.
Right.
Who had no problems, by the way.
Carrie's favorite part. The squatters that came later, the wave of squatters. But so I think that Zach Bagans was able to contact the people that originally rented out the property.
Right.
So the people that originally rented out the property had spooky ghost stories. And while he was filming and trying to obtain information from the original owners, the people that rented from that property shows up.
Right.
So it's a woman with three kids.
Right. Well, before that, he encounters the boyfriend of someone who is living there, like the first person he talks to.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get at, is that there's the owner, there's the original renters, so that's layer one.
Right.
The stories that came out of Demon House were not from owners and renters one. It was from a different owner with
right.
different renters.
Who he tracks down via a news story that had her...
LaToya.
That irresponsibly had her address displayed on the screen during the news story.
Not during the initial paranormal news story, but a different news story
right.
that accused the landowners from having black mold in the walls.
Right.
I know this is a lot to keep up with everybody,
it's a whole lot.
It's the most layered documentary. And one of the things that I like most about Zachy B is that he really doesn't acknowledge how complicated of a story that he's trying to
Yeah.
Like, at all? Like,
right.
Okay. So the family that originates the Hell House kind of story, there's a mom, there's a boyfriend, and three kids. The story that gets out to everybody is basically the kids are somehow possessed by something that's going on in the house.
Right.
The people that back this story up are a social worker and a cop.
Yeah.
The social worker talks about how she saw kids climbing the walls. Now, the reason why that scares me personally is that when I was working in nonprofit and dealing with people and social workers, I had a social worker tell me that she saw a kid climbing the walls.
Yeah, I found this.
That's weird.
I found the social worker in this really believable.
I find everybody in this believable,
yeah.
And I don't care what anybody says.
The only person I didn't, like the only story I didn't buy is the cop talks about having how he went to the house and then drove a mile away and
okay.
he goes, and my radio turned to all static.
Why was that weird?
But wait, let's talk about why the cop is telling this story for anybody
yeah.
taking the time to actually listen to this episode. The cop was called on rental family B, if that makes sense to
yes.
everybody listening, on a child welfare call. And when the cop shows up, he gets so freaked out by what's going on that he drives away from the house.
Wait, was he the one in the basement who was like, oh, the cement's not finished. I'm not a construction worker. But why is there dirt?
Exactly.
No, yeah, that part I got.
So
it was just his radio story.
And I was getting that part. Exactly. So he starts to initially investigate the house. And this guy seems, okay, I don't want to profile anybody, but he really seems like the guy from The Shining, like a lot.
Yeah, a little bit.
He really does seem like that guy.
Scatman Crothers.
Yes. So he shows up and he's like, I've been on a million of these calls. I walked into the house. Things were fucked up. I walk through the house. I walk into the basement. And my first thought is, why would anybody take the time to pave a basement, but not pave a piece behind the staircase.
Yeah.
Which, to the day that Zach Bagans walks in, remains unpaved. So there's just, like, soil behind the staircase.
Right.
And so on top of, like, the weird feelings that he gets walking into this house, he also just, like, notices that there's just something up with the construct of the home. Social worker's called. She gets freaked out by it and the family and everything. She refuses to come back.
Right.
Do you know?
She moved out of state.
Let me. This is a social worker whose primary job initially was child homicide.
Right.
Let's just let that sit for a second.
She's seen some shit.
I can't think of anything more disturbing than that. And this house is what made her move several states away.
But did you believe the cop's radio story?
Tell the story so people know what you're talking about.
Well, he basically says he visited the house, and then he drives a mile away, and that when he gets a mile away, he pulls into, like, a service station, and both of the AM and FM band on his radio turned to static, and then he goes, and then a voice came through and went, "Who's in there?" And it's like, that's not what that ghost would say in that moment.
You don't know that, though.
Who's in there? Or no, maybe. He said, "Who in there?"
Well, Adam.
I did find a lot of the people in this documentary very believable.
Nobody in this documentary is smart enough to be acting at the level that they need to be acting to pull the things off that they're saying.
Right, including the people making the movie.
That's what I mean. That's why I believe him.
Don't think we're just saying, all these stupid people and Garrett. No, everyone in this documentary is kind of on a level playing field when it comes to that.
I just don't think, I believe in his Zach Bagans' sincerity.
I do too.
I really do. I think we're kindred spirits in the sense where we believe in something, but he's not interested in perpetuating something that isn't necessarily real.
Right.
And by the way, we haven't gotten into the real consequences that affect the people in this documentary.
Oh man.
So,
we should point out that at the top of the documentary, they mention that this ghost can also access people through electronic devices, which becomes so crucial at one point in this documentary.
Including to everybody who's listening to this, because he also says the story is cursed.
Yeah, we're all at risk right now.
Yeah, but like,
That's just an inherent thing with podcasts. Sometimes you're going to listen to a cursed story.
Yeah, it happens.
Carrie's ready, Adam's ready, Caitlin's ready. So let me speak about myself
pretty
once
cursed,
in the third.
Boo!
So we've got the social worker who's afraid to ever come back. And this is an unanswerable thing, but the fact that a social worker is too afraid to revisit a home that whose job is child homicide, that's pretty gnarly.
The guy, though, who told the story, it was the brother, right, of LaToya that was telling the story. He was like, oh, my two nephews. And then
so
my
LaToya
niece.
Is the second rental family that actually
that
made
has a moldy
everything.
Second house.
Right. That actually makes the story come
to light. Yeah, on the local news.
Right. This is the most important part. So there's LaToya. She's got three kids. And is it, I'm sorry, a boyfriend or a brother? A brother. Boyfriend.
She has both.
She does have both.
Yeah.
Who's the guy who gets his clothes or whatever at the beginning? That's
that
her fiance?
The fiance who was like, do you want to talk to my friends when you come inside?
Oh, you guys have no idea.
And then when
also,
Zach
like,
starts
you guys
talking.
Huge, have no huge idea. Qualifier, Zach Bagans. Zachy B, he notes that these stories and these energies flourish in people with like low income, high crime, just already bad neighbor. And it made me think of the Cleveland Strangler.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which is like the last episode, the last and very special episode.
Also, religious people. Like a lot of, like I grew up around a lot of black, like a whole lot of black people. Like, and there's, demons are not a non-thing. Like,
no.
Like,
I don't, I'm not black, but I believe in demons for sure.
Like, super religious people really take demons and the idea that a demon can possess you very seriously. And I'm just, like, just speaking from experience, a lot of the families I grew up around and my friends, like, their parents were very much into the idea that certain things, like just things you say, ways you act, open you up to being possessed by demons. So
do you think that being possessed by a demon or opening yourself up to being possessed by a demon is the same thing as being open to having a conversation about the dead.
I don't really have an opinion on it, I guess.
Important, though. I think that's the fundament of this documentary. I feel like if Zach Bagans and I had gone to college, back to the last episode you released of Pretty Scary, I would have dated Zach Bagans for a little bit.
You think so?
Yeah, for sure.
Would he have cried on your floor?
No.
He would definitely have just been in the middle of your... Who would have broken up with who?
If I'm being honest, I feel like Zach Bagans and I would have been an on-again, off-again situation for a while.
Okay.
It would have been the demons that broke you up.
I don't know what it would have been.
What do you think? I feel like...
your imaginary relationship with Zach Bagans?
This is all anybody
God, I haven't
is...
thought about it, but I guess on-again, off-again sounds good.
I've had a lot of weird paranormal experiences, and I never wanted to be with someone that had a ton of paranormal experiences because I don't want a lot of that in my life.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, again, on again, off again.
Right.
The point that I'm trying to get to is that Zach Bagans, bless his heart, does the best that he can bringing from his purview. I would have broken up with him, actually, now that you're bringing this up.
Yeah.
From his purview, all of the experts that he has access to dealing with this demon house. Because I think the biggest problem with this documentary is that he doesn't have an objective with purchasing this home.
Oh, I think he wanted to buy it before anybody else did.
I understand that part.
So I agree with you. That became clear to me when he was arguing in that one scene about who had copyrights to the movie and why he couldn't talk to the previous owner. And it sounds like a threat. Are you threatening me?
Yeah.
Are you threatening me?
He's either on the phone with like Universal or Tyler Perry. Someone's threatening
him. All of a sudden he is like the Godfather. And he gets like very kind of confrontational.
It was like 10 seconds, that was it. I got the feeling like with The Conjuring, for example, the people that purchased the... Why can't I think of their names right? Oh, because I've had a bottle of wine. Ed and Lorraine Warren. So... there's a difference between purchasing the Warren family story and the home connected with the Amityville situation.
But I guess if you know, and I'm sure it's cheap, why not buy that property?
Yeah, this is a house in Gary, Indiana. It was probably like $20,000
Ghost flippers.
But again, that's why I like him.
I would watch the shit out of Ghost Flippers.
He bought the home.
Yeah.
Instead of the family, because I really think that he thinks.
I like the way you said that. It made it seem like he had an option to buy the family also.
he can't.
He's passed.
But here's my point.
Leave the family out.
In his mind, I think he's at peace with the fact that he bought the home versus the family story, which is, I think, a quarter of the documentary is him kind of rifling through who has the ability to tell the story here.
Yeah.
Right.
But the point is, he rifles through like weird tenants and homeless people and whatever. And then finally he gets basically to a Ghost Adventures episode.
Yes.
Which is where things get unassailably weird.
You're going to talk about the 12-foot goat figure at some point, right?
Go for it.
Oh, my God. That's the beginning. I completely forgot.
Yeah, that's right in the beginning. He talks about having a dream about seeing this huge goat-like figure. And
wait. He begins saying that he's a spirit.
Right.
Showing other spirits that he's learned a new trick to move things around.
Right.
As like a fun thing to show other people. I think that's important.
Oh, yeah.
So, because I think from like a symbolism standpoint, he's like, I'm a nice spirit.
Right. My favorite detail about the goat figure, besides the fact that it gave Zach Bagans like night blindness or something, which we'll get to that later.
At the very end.
Yeah.
His prism glasses.
But
not laughable. Terrifying if you think about it.
What I love is he talks about having this dream about this goat figure. Oh, I left my phone downstairs. But one, he has the best quote, I think, in the entire movie, aside from it's cold in here, it must be all the demons. He says, it's at that point that I knew this was some serious shit meant something.
But that's why I believe him, because he can't.
But then he gets a text message from this psychic who's like, hey, I see, like, I'm seeing visions of this big, like, goat-like figure in the house.
But you're not even telling it right. He's in the house months later. He has a dream, and then months later, he's in the house.
Right.
And he's on a tour, and then he gets the text message. That's really scary.
But the thing about the text message is, like they're describing an 11-foot tall goat-like figure, and the text message says, on a demonic scale, I'd rate it an 8 out of 10. It's like, what the fuck is 9 and 10?
Yeah.
You have an 11-foot goat walking through your house. That's a 10.
God,
I mean, not
10?
To reduce demons to numbers. That's that like they're demons. They're not
so
numbers.
Funny. I tried to take a screenshot, but I won't let it do it when you're, I guess, watching TV on your phone. But it was something like, hey, Zach, I hope that like you're not possessed yet. But if you are, like, LOL. Anyway, your goat figure is like an 8 out of 10.
Text.
And then it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, like on the screen, like in bold red face. But I thought the beginning was amazing.
Yeah.
So the other thing that I think is important is that while Zach is doing this, like, very, he's got like all of his bro friends who wear, they all look like Sum 41.
Yeah, they're, I described them earlier as the jackass of ghost hunters.
Oh, like, perfect. Yes. Yeah. So they're all Sum 41.
Jackass meets Sum 41.
The only reason why I say it's Sum 41 is that some of them
it's
have
jackass
weird.
Jackass ran really hard at Sum 41, who was
yes.
also running really hard in the same yeah. direction. They would be
here's how I feel.
Camera crew.
3 out of 8 of the people involved in Zach Bagans' world would have a bangs consult with Carrie.
I could see that.
Yeah, I'm not pro bangs.
No, but like they're dudes with these like weird side bangs, and Carrie would be like, look, you can't do that.
I mean,
there's a lot of black, so there's jeans and
well,
then there's
here's the
black
other thing.
Shirts,
they were camera men that were
there's...
thrown into the spotlight because they got demonized and possessed. They were meant to
by
be in the
demonized
forefront.
And possessed, you mean selected by Zach?
We don't know. That's the thing. Like, they seem like they really were possessed. Adam, the one who ended up becoming...
Wait,
I think...
let's get okay. to that. Let's okay. get to that, because I feel like that's the person you're most likely...
To sleep with? Yes.
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 Okay, so...
For me, it's the demon.
I know, for Carrie...
We all have our people.
I'm fucking that goat.
So...
If given a choice.
So Adam's gonna fuck the
we
goat.
We all have a type.
Carrie's gonna fuck...
Adam.
The Adam... I
Adam
am gonna
the cameraman.
Totally,
the Adam the cameraman.
I'm gonna yeah. be on
because I'm gonna be fucking that goat, as
right,
I said
right,
before.
Right,
I'll course. Be on again, off again with Zach. Is that where we're at?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sexually,
and weirdly enough, you'll have the most tumultuous relationship out of all of us.
Yeah. Me and that goat are gonna get along yeah. fine.
Me and Adam, the guy who threatens entities in an elevator, we're pretty solid. Yeah, we're going strong.
But Carrie, are you really that
surprised? What?
Are you really that surprised that I end up with the guy that's yelling at ghosts? At one point, Zach Bagans moves all of his bro friends into Demon House.
As one
yeah.
does.
Really is he where does. You could, I guess, start this episode.
Just moving all his bro friends to Gary, Indiana is controversial.
Because before that, it's like two black families, two white families, a priest, and a demon goat man.
What's the most responsible thing he's ever done?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
Do you think they all have like those best friend necklaces that say best bitches?
Probably.
Like divided
each
up
one has
all
a,
of them and the goat.
Merry
each one
Christmas
has a piece of it.
I'm going to get you the other side of the heart that just says bitches.
It's itches, actually, because it's divided in half. And I know that because I've had one before.
Wow.
So,
Caitlin.
Anyway, Caitlin.
Way to not do your yeah. research. I guess maybe we should have had notes.
Seriously.
So Zach moves all of his friends into the house that he bought with his ghost money. These people are so spiritually unprepared for what's about to happen to them. And I just want to say that going forward, as I explain it, it's probably best that you all assume that I believe that all of this is true.
Absolutely.
So in my mind, the way this works is that there's the house that he purchases in Gary, Indiana, and then also like an heirs hotel. That is maybe a few blocks down.
Right.
Where they're all staying. Thanks. So they've heard the cop testimony, the social worker testimony, both rental testimonies. And then Zach is like, oh, I'm going to bring in like a, how do I explain, like a geoseismologist. What is this doctor's name?
Yeah, I don't remember his name.
It's the creepiest part, which is why I'm bringing it up.
Yeah,
because he's like feeling out the house, and they catch this weird thing where he's like touching a wall, and then like a black blob appears.
Right,
and then he walks away from the black ball, and Zach Bagans is like, "It's 7 frames, 1, 2, and he counts all the way to 7. But you get to see 1 through 7 of how this, like...
I wonder how many takes that was. Him
just
counting
one,
to 7.
Because it's all real, Adam. So
good point.
This guy who's like a geoseismologist experiences something in the house. Meanwhile, in the basement, there's a cameraman having like a nervous breakdown.
Right.
They experience this stuff. Then they all go to the heirs and bad things happen.
All hell breaks loose at that hotel.
All hell house breaks loose.
Yes. They have some disputes.
Well, wait.
The word bitch is thrown around. But
not explaining
so
it.
So Zach
but about dudes, and that's fine.
Gets hostile a couple of times.
He gets hostile a lot on Ghost Adventures. That's my favorite part, is I'm with you. I can't.
So
my
theory is that this whole thing is the alternate reading of all of this is Zach Bagans and his friends suppressing bro culture, beating people up.
Yeah, I don't buy the I don't buy him as a good enough actor to pull off how terrified they get on a lot of these episodes.
I don't either.
Like,
and then there's always those moments where one of them's like, "Dude, I don't feel good. I might kill everyone in this room. You should probably let me leave here." And they're all like, "Are you okay?" And it's like, "He just said he's going to kill you all. He's not okay. Get him out of there."
You believe that? Because, okay, so he would have these flashes of aggression where he'd be like, "I got aggressive." Inexplicably. You can see it in the camera. And then it would show him with the older guy where he was like, "Ugh," like he was going to punch him or whatever.
The doctor.
Where his back was turned to him. And then the second one was with the cameraman where he pushed him like in an L shape around the room. And then he also said the thing about people get kind of like vacant-eyed when they start going into a trance where maybe they're possessed, and you saw it with the little girl who got possessed, and you saw it with the cameraman who kind of started kind of looking around and then went down to the basement.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean,
do you guys have anything to add?
Caitlin is dying right now.
I love listening to Carrie explain ghost stories. This is good.
It's very practical, I think.
Yeah,
very...
I think she pretty much beat by beat. Gavel to gavel explained it really well.
Ghost to ghost.
Okay, yeah. Here's what's more interesting. Carrie, do you believe in ghosts?
Yes, I do. I don't know, that's so funny. We've talked about this before, Adam, about going into, not together, but like in Peoria growing up, I remember there would be like old shut down, like insane asylums.
The Bartonville Asylum.
Yeah, and that was like the thing. Like you and your friends went out there and you toured these old insane asylums and, you know, you kind of got like freaked out and like, you know, like what happened in here, and they weren't tours or anything. And you could see they were probably converted devil worshiping places. But yeah, I believe in like energy. I believe in ghosts and the cold, and I think I'm open to everything. I was a little nervous.
Except aliens.
I don't like space.
No, wait. Let's be really clear. It's not that Carrie doesn't believe in aliens. She just doesn't want to deal with it. She's annoyed by it.
Yeah, I can see that.
I actually don't know that I do believe in them.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't believe that there's like another species out there that's capable of stuff?
I mean, when you're talking aliens, not really. Like, I feel like there's not enough evidence.
Mm.
I feel like there's
But people
more
make that
of, like,
argument
ghosts
about goats,
demons.
Too. I just said goats, didn't I?
You did.
Because that's goats and ghosts combined.
Yeah.
But
no,
I actually
meant
just ghosts this time. I mean,
I
if
like
I'm being completely honest,
more...
we know goats exist.
Right. I think there's a lot
according
more
to you.
History of like ghosts and demons and all that.
Have you
of
ever
that.
Had a supernatural experience?
No.
Have you ever had a supernatural?
I had a weird thing happen. In my defense, I was smoking a ton of synthetic weed at the time. But when I lived in South Dakota at one point, I had this, like, I was really intensely thinking about my dad.
Okay.
Because I had just gotten my dad's ashes back.
Yeah.
Because my sister left them in an apartment that she got evicted from.
Because
why would you take your dad's ashes with
you? Time out. Seventh real world guess.
Mm-hmm. My dad's ashes?
The urn, yeah.
And I was thinking about...
Vote for Adam's dad. Hashtag Adam's dad.
I was thinking about, like, just thinking about my dad really intently. And in the apartment at the time, like, over by the kitchen, I just heard this, like, tapping noise. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, just high out of my mind thinking, oh, my God, that's, like, my dad, like, sending me a fucking message
or
something.
Why wouldn't it be?
And then I was like, oh, but wait, what if it is? What if I think about it really hard again and it happens again? And it did. And every time focused on, all right, do it again. It fucking happened every
time.
It's
your dad.
Yeah.
Well, like, I remember when my mom died, like, I guess the reason why I sympathize with old Zachy B, I don't understand why he cares about the things that he cares about, but I believe that he cares about, I believe he cares.
Well, he
like,
had.
He
says in the intro of Ghost Adventures that he had, like, a paranormal experience.
Sure, but I also respect the fact that as far as I know, I don't know what that means. Like, he's just like, no, I something happened to him, and he's like, it happens, and it's real.
Yeah.
Which I actually, I respect in a human being, because it's pretty rare that there's a person that'll be like, no, this is real, and I believe in it. And then I'm going to devote everything in my life to it, which is what he's done. And he's not asking for, like, for example, like, in my world, there were, like, evangelical preachers that asked for things like donations.
Right.
Like, he doesn't do that. He's
but
just
he still made a documentary that he shopped. And
I don't feel bad for the Discovery Channel. Like, I don't. I feel bad for, like, little old ladies that are donating to preachers. Like, that's the shit that bothers me.
Right.
So, I agreed.
Anyway, my point is like, when my mom died, like, her passing was, like, really weird because I remember, like, they told me, like, okay, she's going to go. And there was something inside of me that was like, when you tell her it's okay to go, she's going to go. So, and I was 19 at the time. Have I told you this story?
I think you did.
Yeah. I just, like, knew if I said goodbye, she would die. Like, so I called all of these people in our lives and I was like, hey, you have 2 days and then I'm going to say goodbye and she's going to die. Like, that's what's going to happen. So I gave people 2 days and everybody that I cared about said goodbye to her. So I went to the room and I was like, hey, like, I love you as much as a 19-year-old can say to a person.
Right.
And as I'm saying goodbye to her, I heard someone in the hallway, like, yelling, like, Caitlin, like, wait. Like, and I looked and it was my friend's mom. And apparently this person believed what I had said, which was like, if I say goodbye, she's going to pass away. And as I walk out, the nurse was like, I don't know if your mom can hear you.
Yeah.
And I was like, excuse me? Like, you just watched me, like, say goodbye to my mom? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. That's the time to enter into that argument.
So I reached into my pocket and I had a $20 bill and I don't know why. And I looked at her and I was like, I'm going to give you this tip because you're basically a waitress. You're not a nurse. And you have to stay here and watch what's about to happen. And if you leave, I'm just going to lie about something that you've done. And I'm going to do everything I can to get you fired. As this person's like running down the hall. So my friend's mom runs down the hall. My mom's on the bed. She's like, as far as I understand, comatose. But, like, this fucking awful nurse was, like, confirming all my fears, which is why I gave her the $20. So my friend's mom walks in, and she's like, Kathy, oh, my God. Like, she's passing away. And she says, she's saying the things that she's going to say to her. And my mom, who has not been responsive for days, pushes herself up off the bed, looks me dead in the eye, and points to the door. Like, get the fuck out. Like, go away.
Yeah.
And points the door, and I follow my mom's eyeline, and I look up, and I see this other nurse that I gave this $20 to by the door, and she's, like, white.
Yeah.
And I walk past her, and I was like, you're in the wrong profession. Please quit. Please go do something else.
Yeesh.
And that's, as far as I understand, the last thing my mom heard on this planet, whatever. And then she passes away, and the next night, I'm in her room, and I'm, like, missing her, and I have this weird dream, right, where you're just like, okay, maybe I'm making this up or whatever. And there's this weird interaction that I have, and I wake up, and all of the closet doors are open in the room when I wake up.
Yikes.
Yeah.
So I just...
Didn't your mom, like, leave you a tape that you haven't listened to?
Yeah.
When are you going to listen to that?
So to give Carrie backstory, to be like Zach Bagans...
Sure.
My old Zachy B, because this is the episode we're in, I guess. And it's Halloween, right? I don't know. So... years later, my mom, like 10 years after my mom had passed away, my grandma, who's Carrie's, like, one of her favorite people, like, for
Susanna.
Sure. Suzanne. She loves her. We're, like, at brunch one day, and she goes, oh, your mom's cousin gave me a tape of your mom's last moments. Here it is. And it's this, like, small cassette tape of apparently my mom's last moments.
Yikes.
And I'm just not, I haven't listened to it yet.
Oh, what's that all about?
Yeah,
exactly.
Upload it to SoundCloud.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That should be an episode on its own, like a bonus Patreon episode.
Yeah.
Okay. But now I'm in like a weird countdown because I want to do it before my grandma passes away.
Oh, sure.
I don't know. But back to Indiana.
Back to Indiana.
My point in all of this was to say that I get the feeling that Zach had an experience at a certain point that he's trying to actualize over and over again. So he buys this house and he brings all his bro friends. And then weird hijinks ensues.
Everyone starts having bad luck.
So he brings in a geographic physiological seismologist.
Yeah, something like that.
Who, from what I can tell, is maybe 4 feet tall.
Yeah.
Seems like a little tiny guy.
He's a very slight dude.
And he starts to walk around the house. And he starts to have weird feelings. And then his cameramen start to have weird feelings. And then they all go back to the airs.
Chaos ensues.
The bros start feeling aggravated.
Right.
One of them with weird Good Charlotte bangs. Adam. His name is Adam, I think.
Yeah, it is.
Starts to yell at an empty elevator.
Yeah. Well, there's also, like, that was the most, one of the most interesting parts of the documentary to me is all the people who come into contact with this house and then go on to suffer terrible fates. And I think the most interesting was the girl who...
Okay, so the second tier family that rents...
Right.
Who was actually one of the original renters, which is important. One of the original renters comes to visit the house while Zach is filming. She's got two daughters. They visit the house.
Who are like early teens.
Yeah, really young. One of the girls who visits the house tries to kill herself by
They watch her with a camera and she gets like the vacant stare where she's just kind of staring off. And then they get a report like 2 days later that they're like, she tried to kill herself.
By stabbing herself.
But yeah, puncture wounds, which is very stigmata.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she does the stigmata puncture wounds. But then also when Zach is interviewing her, she doesn't remember anything.
She doesn't remember visiting the house. Yeah.
The cameraman who has Good Charlotte bangs has this like, how do you explain this? Like, so he disappears into the basement. But when he comes back out hours later, they find him sleeping in this back bedroom where like murders have occurred.
Right.
And then later they go to their like Ayers hotel and he's yelling at an empty elevator.
Yeah, he really loses his shit.
Also throwing up blood.
Yeah. And someone quit after the girl committed suicide or tried to commit suicide.
I know.
I thought the craziest one, though, was, I mean, it's not like there's no way to not chalk it up to coincidence. But there's the friend of Zach Bagans who lives in Los Angeles, who's like me and my husband. We're going to try and make contact with this ghost through the phone. And at one point she messages him and is like, I think we made contact. I think we talked to the ghost. And then she and a friend get murdered.
3 weeks
later. Her husband.
Yeah.
Who they've worked with in the past. That was crazy.
And then the doctor, the geographic seismologist or whatever the fuck, like all his organs start shutting down. There's the other social worker who they talk about oil that is
dripping
just
from
like
the curtains.
Dripping from the curtains in the walls. Like hers was all like white girl problems. Like, oh, I broke my ankle jogging and shit. But
she still had like four different things.
Yeah,
she
had
like a broken hand.
Four different injuries in the span of a month.
Yeah, broke ribs. And then there was a guy where he got like a DUI and like two other things that were crazy.
And
there's like a lot of stuff.
Like stuff like that. Like when people are like, oh, there's no evidence that it's...
But
it's like, well, there's no evidence that it's just a coincidence either. Like you don't fucking know.
But the girl who... So the maybe 13-year-old girl who tried to kill herself with the puncture wounds, they talked about her being in her bed in the hospital. And when she leaned up, she had a 6 on her back.
Right.
And they talked about that, and the sister goes, yeah, she just wasn't acting normal. She just didn't seem like herself. And then they kind of show her exorcism at the church.
Right.
Where the guy's praying or whatever. And they actually kind of show a couple of different exorcisms. This one with the 13-year-old, just his words, you can kind of see her moving back and forth and making moves, and then her head drops. The other one with LaToya, the first person who you don't get a lot of interaction with, but every time the priest said, I think by the third time he put the crucifix on her head, she was fine. But the first two, she would like rebuke it, like how to like move back. So
yeah, the thing about this documentary, to for it to be all a hoax, so many just normal people have to be lying.
Right.
Like, you also have pathologically to lying. Have to discount every other outside entity that's interested in a financial vesting of the story.
Right.
I thought too Adam's end story was interesting, where they were like, he didn't want help, he went home. He didn't want help. He kind of went down a weird path.
The Ayers guy who started to freak out.
Yeah.
And that he kept saying in the interview right after that he felt like a demon or someone was touching his hand, and he got 3 sixes on that hand, like tattooed on. Like he just kind of went crazy.
Yeah.
I'd still sleep with him though.
Am I going to go crazy? Because I've seen this staircase. It's in...
Let's not.
Okay, so at the end of it, Zach Bagans is like, everybody who walks into this house gets like cancer or weird infections. So I'm gonna bulldoze the house. I'm going to send everything to a landfill except for a can of soil that was left underneath the staircase and the actual staircase itself.
Wait. Right. Is this after he locked himself? He boarded up the windows and locked himself into the house for a night, which
the long-term health problems of Zach Bagans now.
Right.
He has to wear special prism glasses.
So let's talk about this. So Zach Bagans deals with all sorts of shit.
He's an investigator.
Everybody is
the
faking.
Investigator
and
him.
Like, okay, they're all faking.
Wants to
okay.
know.
But he boards himself up in the house, and when he leaves,
good luck. He's shaking hands.
He comes out
like he's running for mayor
with a mysterious and irreversible eye problem.
Right.
Where his eyes are going cross and he has to wear prism glasses for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
If he has surgery, then there's a chance where he'll go blind forever.
Yeah.
And then LaToya kicks her brother out, who had an interview with Zach because she feels like he transmitted evil.
Yeah.
Through him.
Carried evil from the house back.
Yeah, because those interviews were obviously after his stint, because he already had the prism glasses.
Let me ask you a question. Okay. Have you ever looked at someone and thought they're actually they're different from who they used to be? Because several times in this documentary, somebody says, I looked at this person and they're no longer them. Like they're kids or adults, like that's not who they are. Have you ever experienced that?
Oh, God. I guess my only experience with that is like Chet Wilde, when I saw him go from like pre when he had a band in his place to after he had a band in his place.
Yeah.
And, like his ego, he couldn't even like get it turned sideways to get it through a room. That's my only experience.
Got it.
Yeah, I was going to bring up former podcast co-hosts also. But
yeah.
Have you ever seen somebody just not... like assume a different, somebody who's just assumed a different, they might be the same person technically, but they're not the same person.
Caitlin might be my favorite host of all time.
Yeah, but it was in like argument type situations where a person would be one person.
Was it a gavel to gavel?
It was kind of a gavel to gavel situation.
Yeah, that checks out
there.
Yeah.
You've never seen somebody just, I don't know. It's interesting because hearing the way these people were talking about their family members, I feel like I've seen this before.
Yeah.
But it's also interesting because this is like a fucked up house filled with like possible carbon monoxide and black mold. And maybe that's it.
Yeah, it could have been that.
But I also believe in ghosts.
Yeah.
Do you believe that Zach Bagans?
So am I going to be cursed from having seen, like I've seen this staircase in person. Like there's no glass.
You've been in that house?
At his haunted museum, he took the staircase and put it in this museum.
Because
and
you're good about saying goodbye to things. And
that's
I think
a good
that
point.
Is important.
And what's crazy about it is the room he has it in smells like a musty basement. Like they were really good about making sure each room, like they have Ed Gein's cauldron at one point, and it just smells like something's burning, but it's something you've never smelled burning before.
Interesting.
Yeah. And in the room where they have the staircase, it just smells like the mustiest, creepiest fucking basement.
Good for them.
Yeah. He did good with that.
Yeah.
The Haunted Museum is worth checking out.
You shouldn't have broken up with him. I'll tell you that much, Caitlin.
Yeah.
No, it was a mistake.
Well,
maybe in another lifetime.
Yeah.
So should people watch this documentary?
Yeah. I do. I think so. It's, an hour and a half? It's not that long.
Yeah,
I feel like people who haven't watched Ghost Adventures should definitely watch this documentary.
Yeah.
Because I've watched Ghost Adventures for years, and I've always liked Zach Bagans because he just seems like a generally innocent person.
Yeah.
Honestly, like I watch other Ghost Hunter shows. I'm like, you're just like a douchebag. Like, I don't believe you. Or like, oh, you're mentally ill. I feel sad for you.
Or you're boring.
There's also that huge crime.
Boring.
Zach Bagans, I'm like, at least he's into the shit that he's doing. And that's why this documentary is really good. And then watch the Red Lion episode of Ghost Adventure.
Yeah. I liked this documentary a lot. I thought it was, pretty compelling. Like, I get that people are going to be like, oh, it's all coincidences, but that's a lot of fucking coincidences that
happen. And at a certain point, like, you have to just come back to the fact that none of these people seem like actors. They just don't. Right. And I don't care what you tell me. Nobody's that good.
Right.
Like, Meryl Streep can't even pull this shit off.
Oh, yes, she can.
No, because Meryl Streep is amazing. So big. No, she's so huge.
Meryl Streep in Hell House, I would watch that.
Demon House.
I would also watch it.
I would watch her in Hell House, too, though. Also a great horror movie.
Have you seen
movie.
Hell House?
Yeah.
I would also watch her in Mandy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Meryl and Mandy would have been, like, solid with as the cult leader's, like, girlfriend.
Right.
Like, the first one.
Yeah, the one who's really good at sex because she's so sensitive.
I like it.
Spoiler alert. Nice.
You guys would like it.
Yeah. And I like this documentary, and people should watch it.
I agree.
Do we have anything? We're over an hour now. Do we have anything? What are our final thoughts on Demon House? I know Andy Sell hates it. I wish we could have got him on here. For someone who...
There are a lot of people that are annoyed with Zach Bagans because they say that he's irresponsible with his paranormal researching tactics.
Right.
First of all, I don't really know how you... I guess the precedent for paranormal researching tactics is Ghostbusters. So I'm not...
Yeah.
So we're talking the 80s here. Like, I don't really know if you could really attack somebody on those grounds. Secondly, I think we're entering into a conversation that doesn't even have like a vernacular yet.
Right.
With the paranormal. And at least he's already made his money with this and he's still going. So he hasn't opened a hotline. He's not preying off of donors.
Right.
Like, he's not telling people that there's an apocalypse coming. So who cares? Like,
yeah,
why do you care? The Discovery Channel is making money off of Zach Bagans.
I think people want like Zach Bagans to go into this situation and sit all these people down and go, look, ghosts aren't real.
Look,
and like, that's not going to fucking happen.
Yeah. We're basically in the 80s right now. So people are looking to pop culture to solve the problem of evil, and it's not going to happen.
Right.
Zach Bagans is not going to do it. Ghosts or no ghosts.
Yeah.
Like, just enjoy it or not. But if you don't enjoy it, like, just, I don't really care.
Just don't enjoy it.
Just don't enjoy it.
But I know the comments on this episode. We're going to have like 4 or 5 people who are like, there's no evidence of ghosts.
That's not true.
Yeah. It's not. It's the same thing with UFOs. There's evidence. It's just a matter of whether you want to believe the evidence or not.
I feel like there is less room to argue about UFOs than there is about the ghost situation.
Oh, no. No. Our government hasn't spent the past 7 decades investigating ghosts, but they have been investigating UFOs.
That's my point, is like, if you're going to argue with me about the existence of UFOs, I don't even want to have this conversation.
Yeah.
Like, how can you tell me in a universe that there isn't? First of all, if Zach Bagans is the most enlightened individual dealing with afterlife issues, you cannot tell me that we are the most enlightened individuals in the universe.
Yeah, there's no way.
It's not possible.
No fucking way.
No. You know what is really cool about ghosts?
Everything. But what else?
Carrie just became one.
Yeah, Carrie vanished.
Carrie vanished. She went to the other side.
She went to peep.
I feel like we should just end it as Carrie is a ghost.
We probably should.
I feel like this episode didn't make any sense. But
Puppy came back to replace her.
Yeah,
I'm not mistaken. I just saw the fucking curtain move. So maybe she's not actually there.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. Who wants to know? No one wants to know.
Just listen to this show, Pretty Scary and White Wine True Crime.
Yes, please.
Those are the only things I'm plugging.
Yeah. This is a Patreon-only episode, so you don't have to do shit.
Also, sorry if this episode made no sense.
No, it made all the sense.
Thanks.
Hey, Carrie's back. Whoa, Carrie.
I wasn't gone.
Woo. Is she a ghost?
I wasn't gone.
Does anybody have, like, a couple, like, bean and cheese burritos?
There's a Taco Bell very close to here.
Thank God.
Yeah, super close. All right. We should probably wrap this up.
Yeah. So my final thoughts
Good.
We already did that. So
you were a ghost at that point.
If Adam with the hand tattoos single wants to hit me up, I mean
Adam the cameraman.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay, because like initially those were three separate ideas in my mind, but now I understand what you're saying. Do you know what I'm saying? You're like, oh, Adam, and then you were like, you said, oh, there's Adam, and then there's hand tattoos. It's just
pretty scary, boo.
Pretty scary, boo.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.
Bye. Bye. Oh, my God.